Okay, so tonight we continue, as per usual, discussing debates between Rambam and Ramban about the Parsha. And this week is an easy one, Parsha Ki Teitzeh. Truth is that the Rambam and Ramban say essentially the same thing, but it's the nuance between them that we're going to make sure to flesh out and drill down. But they're essentially in agreement. About a main principle of the Torah, they just disagree about the details in this situation. So we're going to be talking about the mitzvah of Shiloh HaKen. This is actually a topic that I've spoken about many times. In fact, I think last year's shiur was about the same topic, but we'll look at it more from the perspective of Rambam Ramban, and maybe a little bit of Maharal. So this mitzvah, as we know, shows up in Parashat Ki Teitzeh, Ki Karei Kan Tzipor Lefanecha B'derech B'chol Eitz. All the arets, Ephraim, or Beitim, Vahaim, or Ephraim, all the Beitim, Lotikachem, al Habanim. So the first part of this mitzvah is that if you show up, or rather, if you're walking in a field and you come upon a nest and you find the mother bird sitting on the child, sitting along with the children, so you should not take the mother bird while the children are underneath her. Rather, what should you do? Shalech, Tishalech, Ataim, Vatabanim, Tikachlach. So here you have the positive mitzvah to send away the mother bird and only then to take the children, to take the beitzim. Okay, this is the one that most people are familiar with, the idea that you send away the mother bird and only then take the beitzim. Now, the Gemara in Brachos seems to address this mitzvah. The Mishnah over there, and I think this must be the fourth parak, says that a person is not allowed to say the phrase "Al kan tzipor yagiu rachamecha," which means "Thy mercies extend to the bird's nest." So the Gemara says, "What's the reason? Why are you not allowed to say that phrase in tefillah? Why are you not allowed to refer to Hashem's mercy with regards to the bird's nest, which is the mitzvah of Shiloh HaKan?" So the Gemara says, "Two Amoraim in the West, Rav Yosi bar Avin and Rav Yosi bar Zvi, they give different answers." One says that the problem is that he creates jealousy amongst God's creatures. In other words, you mention specifically the bird, right? And you don't mention any other animals. Rashi says, Lomar al elachas velo al shar biyotah, because you're saying that Hashem only cares about birds, he doesn't care about other animals, and that's inappropriate, you shouldn't do that. Okay, relatively minor point. But the other one says, because he presents the measures taken by the Holy One, blessed be he, as springing from compassion, whereas they are but decrees. Basically, that you're saying that the mitzvot are from rachamim, ve'inan ela gzerot. And really, they are gzerot. Rashi says, mitzvotav, v'hulol rachamim asa, ela lahatil al Yisrael chukei gzerotav. He just gave it to us as gzerot, as decrees. L'odi Hashem avadav, so that we acknowledge that we are his servants. And this applies also to other mitzvot like chukim, mitzvot that we don't have any, obvious reason for. So the Gemara has two different opinions about what the problem is with saying, with referring to the mitzvah of Shiloh HaKan and referring to God's rachamim. One answer has nothing to do with the mitzvah, it just means, that we're not supposed to single out the birds. And the other Amora says, no, the problem is that you're referring to Hashem's mitzvot as rachamim, and they're really only gzerot. They are decrees, strict justice. Okay, so we need to understand what's going on over here. So the Rambam, in his Mor Nevuchim, in the third chelek, towards the end, actually, towards the end of the book, he uses this mitzvah and this ma'amar in the Gemara to set down a very basic principle of his own. Let's take a look at what he says. Since, therefore, the desire of procuring good food necessitates the slaying of animals, the law enjoins that the death of the animal should be the easiest. Okay? So here the Rambam is talking in general about being able to consume animals. And he's talking about shechita, that Hashem says that if you want to eat an animal, the way of preparing the animal, namely killing the animal, should be in the easiest fashion. So what does that mean? It is not allowed to torment the animal by cutting the throat in a clumsy manner, by poleaxing, or by cutting off a limb while the animal is alive. It is also prohibited to kill an animal with its young on the same day. This is a separate mitzvah called otoved beno. This is a rule that you're not allowed to kill a mother and its child, let's say a cow or a sheep, on the same day. Why? In order that people should be restrained and prevented from killing the two together in such a manner that the young is slain in the sight of the mother. Okay, so what's the reason for this mitzvah? So the Rambam says the reason for the mitzvah is that Hashem does not want us to slay an animal in sight of its mother. Why? For the pain of the animals under such circumstances is very great. It causes pain to the animal. There's no difference in this case between the pain of man and the pain of other living beings, since the love and tenderness of the mother for her young ones is not produced by reasoning, but by imagination. And this faculty exists not only in man, but in most living beings. The Rambam says animals don't think, they don't reason, but they feel. And just like humans feel, and just like a mother would feel if a child was killed in front of her, so too animals feel the same way. And Hashem wants to have mercy and compassion on the mother animal. Okay? Now the Rambam extends this. The same reason applies to the law, which enjoins that we should let the mother fly away when we take the young. Shiloh hakan. The eggs over which the bird sits and the young that are in need of their mother are generally unfit for food. And when the mother is sent away, she does not see the taking of her young ones and does not feel any pain. If you send away the mother, then she doesn't have to watch when you're taking the eggs. In most cases, however, this command will cause the man to leave the whole nest untouched. Most of the time, he'll just leave it because the young, which he's allowed to take, are unfit for food. If the law provides that such grief should not be caused to cattle or birds, how much more careful must we be that we should not cause grief to our fellow men? Okay, now the Rambam makes a leap at the end. He says, if this is what Hashem requires of us with regards to animals, then there's a Kal Vachomer about how we should treat people. Okay, fine. Kal Vachomer about how we should treat people. However, I ask, is that the main point of Shiloh HaKan? Is to teach us how to treat people? Is that the impression that we have from the Rambam? That the main point of Shiloh HaKan is to tell us how to treat people? Or is the main point of the Rambam that the point of Shiloh HaKan is to have mercy on the bird? Because the bird is going to feel pain. And Hashem doesn't want his creatures to feel pain. To me, it seems clear that the Rambam is saying that the main point is that the animal should not feel pain. And he uses this point about people as just to embellish the mitzvah. Okay. Now, problem is, how does the Rambam deal with our Gemara and our Mishnah? Mishnah says you're not allowed to refer to the mitzvot of Hashem as rachamim. So he says, very simple, when in the Talmud those are blamed who use in the prayer the phrase, thy mercy extendeth to young birds, it is the expression of the one of the two opinions mentioned by us, namely, that the precepts of the law have no other reason but the divine will. We follow the other opinion. In other words, the Rambam says, yes, in the Gemara, the two Amoraim argue about why it is that you're not allowed to say this phrase, Akan Tzipor Yagiru Rachamecha. However, the Rambam says, there are two opinions. One opinion says it's just about creating jealousy amongst God's creatures, which means, according to that opinion, we can still view mitzvot as being rachamim, whereas only the second opinion says that it's a problem to mention that the mitzvot are rachamim. And the Rambam says, it's very simple. We paskin, like the first opinion. We follow the first opinion. Yes, the second opinion would say that all of the mitzvot of Hashem are just gezerot, and they're not rachamim. And you can't refer to them as rachamim. We can't find a reason that would turn out to be compassion. But the first opinion has no compunction like that. And the Rambam says, we follow the first opinion. Fair? All good? Thumbs up, thumbs down. Can everyone hear me?
I came in late. So
that's okay.
I'm trying to pick up what the thread is. You're saying that there's two possibilities, that the mitzvahs are just because you do them because they're mitzvahs, or the other opinion is the mitzvahs have another purpose, another sort of something else.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
You,
that's
okay.
Right. One opinion says that we're allowed to say that the mitzvot are for rachamim, and the other opinion says that we're not allowed to say that. And the Rambam says we are allowed to say it. We follow the first opinion.
And so therefore the sending away the mother bird is for rachamim for the mother bird.
Yes, and we can even and we can talk about it that way. We can't say it in tefillah because then we're going to make all the other animals jealous of the birds. That's a separate problem, but we can refer to it that way when we're learning for sure. And
and the
this
business
Rambam,
about the kal v'chomer to do with people, where does that come in? Sorry, if
So
I'm.
that was a point that he made. He says it sounds like a Musar point almost. If that's true of cattle and birds, you have these two mitzvot, otovet beno and shiloh haken. In both cases, it seems that we're concerned about the feelings of animals. So he says, if that's how we feel about animals, then kal v'chomer how we should feel about people.
Mm-hmm. But that's not
But
the
it seems
purpose.
to be
That's
an
just.
embellishment. It doesn't sound like that's the purpose.
Okay.
In fact, the Rambam, you can find support for this in Hilchot Temura, the end of Hilchot Temura. It says, even though all the laws of the Torah are arbitrary decrees, as we explained at the end of the laws of desecration, it is worthwhile to meditate on them and assign reasons to whatever part of it you can assign a reason to. Bill, the early sages said, Solomon understood the reasons of most of the Torah's laws. In other words, the Rambam says, yes, we can view the mitzvot of the Torah as gezerot in the sense that we can never know ultimately what the, you know, what the real reason for it is, but you can still assign reasons to them in whatever you think makes sense. And we should. It is worthwhile to do that. Okay, so that's the Rambam. That's Maimonides. Now, Ramban in our parsha, okay, on these psukim, cites the Morne Ruchum, cites the Rambam. Kitam shiloh hakan v'tam oto v'et beno lo tishchotu b'yom echad kedei lazhir shelo yishchot haben v'enei ha'em ki yesh lo behemot da'aga gdola b'zeh. The purpose of these two mitzvot is to protect the mother bird and the mother behema because they'll be pained by the fact that you're attacking and killing their child. And they feel pain. Okay. Ramban himself says, I agree for the most part. However, he says, I don't think that the animals, as he's going to explain later, I don't think that the animals really feel anything, as we're going to see. But the point is that we should have mercy on the animals. Okay? That's the point, that we should have mercy on the animals. And we're going to drill down into that a little bit more and split the Rambam from Ramban. But before we do that, let's bring them together. Okay? The Ramban continues, and he says, "V'zeh ha'inyan, this idea, shegazar harav b'mitzvot sheyesh lahem tam." The Rambam says that mitzvot have reasons. Mevu'aru ma'od ki b'kol achad tam v'tawalot v'kitikun la'adam. He says it's clear that every single one has some kind of purpose and function for people to fix a person. Milvad scharan me'et ha'mitzvah mehen mitvarach. Aside from the general reward that a person will receive for performing the mitzvah, it performs a function and improves people in their lifetimes. The Kvar Darshu b'Paraduma. We have the Midrash that says that Shlomo al hakol amadati uparasha shel Paraduma chakarti v'shaalti u'pishvashti amra achkama v'hi rechoka mimeni. The pasuk in Koheles that says that Shlomo says that I wanted to become wise, but it was too far for me. Is where Shlomo is saying I tried to understand all the mitzvot, and then I got to Paraduma and I didn't understand it. So it makes it sound like, okay, Shlomo HaMelech didn't get it. So now what's the message of this Midrash? The message of the Midrash seems like it's saying that you know, the mitzvot are arbitrary. If Shlomo couldn't understand it, what hope do any of us have? So the problem is people who say that didn't read the end of the Midrash. Because the end of the Midrash says, Amar Rabbi Yosef Rechanina, Amar Lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu LeMoshe, Lecha Ani Megale Ta'am Parah Aduma, Aval Acherim Chuka. Hashem revealed the purpose of the mitzvah of Parah Aduma to Moshe Rabbeinu. Even if Shlomo HaMelech, the wisest of all men, could not come up with the reason, Moshe Rabbeinu himself did know the reason. So there was some understandable reason for it. That's clear. Our lack of understanding of the mitzvot of the Torah, that's simply due to our blindness, the blindness of our intellect, not because they're arbitrary. Aval, elu ha'agadot asher nitkashu al harav. What about the statements of Chazal that seem to disagree with this, that the Rambam struggled with? He says, kafi da'ati inyan acher lehem. Says the Rambam answered in his own way. The Rambam said, we pass from like one view and not like the other. That's how the Rambam dealt with it. But he says, I think there's a different answer. we have to understand that the line of the Gemara better. How do we understand it?
The
Ramban says, when the Gemara says that we're not allowed to say, we're not allowed to refer to Hashem's mitzvot and midot as rachamim, because they're only gzeirot, Ramban says, that's not to say that the mitzvot have no reason. It's simply to say that it's not that Hashem has compassion on the animals. It's not that the mitzvot are being performed for Hashem's benefit. We're not allowed to say that. But rather, they're for our benefit. Hato'elad ba'adam atzmo. The benefit is only for us. To take away any damage or bad thoughts or bad faith or bad ideas or bad midot. Or so that we remember the nisim and the niflaot and remember Hashem. And he says, "V'zehu litzareif behen." I think I didn't put in the part where he quotes the pasuk in Yeshayahu that says that the words of Hashem are tzufa. They are there to temper us. Litzareif behen. To temper is to remove the impurities from metal. That's what that means. Shehiyu kikesef tzaruf, like silver, pure silver. Ki atzaref hakesef ein maaseh b'lo ta'am, aval hotzi menu kosig. When you purify, when you burn, when you put the metal in fire and burn out the impurities, it's not for no purpose, it's to improve it. V'chein ha-mitzvot lahotzi milibeinu kol amuna ra'a lo'odienu ha'emet lizachor tamid. That's the purpose of all the mitzvot. It's really for our to'elet, it's for our function.
But surely then that implies that we should be looking for reasons for the mitzvot.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
We can't do them without, you know, just because they're there.
Okay. Well, we can assume that every single one has a purpose, and those that are clear, we can claim that is the purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Look what he says. The Gemara says that the problem is that you're making them into compassion and they're really only gzeirot. That was a problem for Ramban. Ramban says, no. The only point there is that Hashem didn't have rachamim on the bird or on the animal. The bird and the animal don't really feel. So Hashem doesn't have rachamim for them. Because Hashem never told us that we're not allowed to use animals for our benefit. If Hashem really wanted to have compassion on the animals, he would have told us, don't shech them, don't eat them, which is actually how things started out. But he changed that. But Hashem didn't tell us, don't shech the animals. The only purpose of that mitzvah is to train us to not be cruel. It's so that we have rachamim on the bird, so that it teaches us to have rachamim on each other. Cruelty can spread. Because if you take a look at your average butcher, and they tend to be gruff and cruel people. Okay. We have other places where this shows up. So for example, he says, there's a midrash that says, what does Hashem care if we shech the animal by cutting the neck first, or if we just stab it, kill it, and then eat it? What does that bother Hashem? Does it matter to him? If we eat tahor animals or tamei animals, what does God care? It doesn't touch God. It doesn't bother him. Rather, lo nitnu hamitzvot ela litzareif et habriot. Shneamar imrot Hashem imrot tohorot. This is the idea that they're only there in order to purify us. Sheyehe magin alecha, that it should protect us. So he says it's clear from here that these mitzvot aren't for Hashem or for any purpose of Hashem. It's not like Hashem gave us a mitzvah because he wanted us to do a job for him. Like, have rachamim on the bird or on the animal because I want you to have rachamim. No, he gave it to us so that we would develop these traits. of rachamim. And he says, for example, you know, Hashem told us to light a menorah in the Beit Mikdash. Does Hashem need the light of the menorah? Or the korbanot that we bring? No, they're for us. They serve purposes for us, according to Ramban.
Or korbanot that you don't even eat. You just burn the whole thing.
Yeah. So according to Ramban, he agrees with the Rambam that none of the mitzvot are arbitrary and that it is a worthwhile endeavor to try to figure them out. But he disagrees with the Ramban on one fine point. Whereas the Rambam is willing to say that the purpose of the mitzvah of Shiloh HaKen is that Hashem wanted to have rachamim on the bird. Ramban says, Hashem's interest is not to have rachamim on the bird, but rather that we should develop the trait of rachamim. That's all. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So that's Rambam versus Ramban, so to speak. So there's two things left that I wanted to do. Number one is to take a look at the Maharal. Okay? Rabbi Yehuda Lowy, great 16th century thinker. So he wrote in his Tzaret Yisrael, he wrote a critique of the Rambam and Ramban. He says, "Yevshar lomar shihu mitzvot haTorah al derech shapir shaRamban zal likvoa banu midot tovot." He says, "I don't think that the purpose of the Torah is to develop within us moral traits. That's not the purpose of mitzvot. Ki lo tuchal afreish kach ki rov mitzvot lo nida tamam. Because for most mitzvot, this is not relevant. Most mitzvot, what's shatnez? How is shatnez going to make us better people? How is kilayim going to make us better people? How is basar b'chalav going to make us better people? How is, I don't know, the mitzvah of, who knows, Shabbos? How is that going to make us better people? It's not there to make us better people. So he says, so then what are we going to say? What about this? There are midrashim that say that they are there in order to purify us. He says, the Ramban understood that that meant that it was to train us to be moral people. So he says, no, I don't think so. Rather, rather, the mitzvot, when you perform them, they themselves have some kind of koach that brings you close to God in a almost semi-mystical way, he says. And he says, and I'll prove it to you. If really it's the case that the mitzvot are there to train us to be moral, then for example, shchita, yes? Shchita is to shech the animal from the neck. Why? Because it's the most humane way to do it, right? From the front of the neck. Not to decapitate the animal from the back, right? This is true for animals and for birds. If you want to make a kosher animal or a bird, you have to shech it from the front of the neck. Except the chatata of. There's one korban in the Beit Mikdash. When you bring a bird korban in the Beit Mikdash, where does the Kohen cut the animal's simanim from? Cuts it from the back of the neck. This is called melika. Cuts it from the back, not from the front. I don't understand. If the most humane way to do it is from the front, then why is it that the chatat ha'of is cut from the back? Maharal wonders. He says it must that. If it's moral, then it's moral to do it from the front. If it's not, then what's going on? Or, for example, otovet beno. You're not allowed to shech the animal and its child on the same day. All right. What happens if you shech the mother at 6 o'clock in the afternoon, and then you shech the baby at 6:30 after tzeit kochavim? That's okay. That's fine. He says, it doesn't really work out that way. He says, rather, essentially, he says, the mitzvot of the Torah are just there in order to follow God's will. That's all. They're there to follow God's will because that's the right thing, because that's the best thing to do. It's not worth it to try to figure out if it's the nice thing to do or it's not the nice thing to do. Now, the Maharal hedges a little bit because he says, it turns out that most of the mitzvot in the Torah are moral. But that just happens to be that way because God is moral. So he wants us to do moral things. He wants us to do good things. Kol drachei adachei noam, Shalom. But it's not that we're meant to do the mitzvot in order to become moral, good human beings, but rather that it happens to be that a moral, good God is going to give moral, good commandments. And some of them are going to be more understandable than the others. But we shouldn't look at each one and say, oh, okay, this one is making us into a moral person. No, no, this one is bringing you closer to God. And that's the reason to do it, according to the Maharal. So you have these three different opinions, three different approaches to the same idea. Any questions so far?
Isn't there some idea that doing the mitzvot, no matter what they are, is like a subjugation of our ego? It sort of, you know, we can't just do what we want to do. We've got to, you know, minimize our desires.
And definitely, you can go that approach, but then what you end up saying in that approach, or the extreme version of that approach, is that all the mitzvot are arbitrary. It doesn't really matter what Hashem asked us to do. There's nothing to the content. It's just that he gave us a list of arbitrary laws, and that's what it is. And the Rambam and the Ramban are obviously unwilling to say that completely. And the Maharal doesn't really go that far. The Maharal says there's a reason for every single one, but we will never understand it. We can't understand it because it's godly. If we could understand it, then we could have come up with the Torah ourselves. That's the Maharal's claim. The Maharal's claim is that there is no point in trying to figure out the purpose of the mitzvot because they are all divine and they work according to divine rules, not human, moral, natural rules. So, you know, whatever God's motivation is, we will never understand it. So there's no point in trying to figure it out. The fact that it happens to be moral most of the time, that's just a siman that God is generally moral. Karen is raising her hand. Go ahead.
There are some mitzvot in the Torah that are obvious why they're there. And
so the Maharal disagrees. You think they're obvious, but they're not.
The Maharal doesn't think that there's a definite reason for lo tignov, lo tiltach.
Well, he definitely does. But he says, you think that it's because it's not nice to steal. And he says, you're right, it's not nice to steal. But that's not why God said not to steal. God has his own reasons to tell you not to steal. The fact that it happens to be that it's also not nice to steal, that's because God doesn't do things that are not nice also. But it's not the essential reason for it. You'll never understand the essential reason, according to the Maharal. The Ramban and the Rambam disagree with this.
Okay, well, there are just so many laws that we're given that are essential for the development of a sustainable society. Never mind moral, never mind if it's nice. But if anybody can go around stealing and killing willy-nilly whenever the mood suits them, humanity would not be around.
I agree.
I agree with you. I can certainly list at least 10 people I would have killed by now.
I agree with you, and I happen to be more on the side of the Rambam Ramban on this, but I understand the Maharal's perspective. Maharal's perspective is, That's very good. You know, that's great politics, great, you know, philosophy, but it's not Torah. Torah is Hashem said do this because of a divine reason. The fact that it happens to also be useful and beneficial to society, that's a plus, and it's probably not a coincidence, but it's not the essential reason. And okay, I mean, that could be good enough. But the Rambam and Ramban would agree with you.
If you're on the subject of killing animals, the Egla Rufa, how would you deal with that one?
That's a good question.
Where they cut his head off completely and just like, waste
That's
him.
Right. That's right. That's right.
A tough one.
Right. So the Maharsha, for example, the Maharsha, which is a commentary in the Gemara itself, he explains things that are somewhat like the Maharal, but in between. He says, Ritzon Olamar b'mitzvot she'ein mefurash tamam, specifically with mitzvot that do not have an explicit reason in the Torah, that it doesn't say why. Kemo b'shiloch hakan, kevan deinu mefurash batam ha-mitzvah, ein b'yadeinu shimitzad rachamim. We can't really know that it's because of rachamim. Ela sheyesh lanu kayem otam mitzad gzerotav shekibul haskar al gzerotav hem vade biyote devar shasatan monebo. Rather, we should just be thinking that we're going to do the mitzvot because Hashem did a gzerah. We're not going to come up with a reason. Yes, if there's a mitzvah that explicitly says this is why you should do the mitzvah, fine. But if it doesn't, then don't start coming up with the mitzvot, because then you're going to go down a slippery path, and then you're going to have to wonder, you know, what about Eglah Arufa? What do we do about that one? So it's better to just leave them, throw up our hands and say, we don't know. I will support this point, by the way, with a surprising Zohar. Okay, the Zohar says that the real reason for Shiloh HaKan is actually the opposite of Rachamim. Rather, the real reason, according to the Zohar, for Shiloh HaKan is that we want to cause Tsa'ar to the mother bird by sending her away. In other words, we send the mother bird away, causing her Tsa'ar that she has to abandon her children, and then when she comes back, she finds that the eggs are gone. We want her to feel Tsa'ar. Sounds strange. Why would we want the bird to feel Tsa'ar? So the Zohar says that when Hashem hears the bird crying, hears it wailing or whatever it is that birds do when they're in pain, he listens to it, and it reminds him of our pain, of the pain of Bnei Israel, now that we don't have a Beit HaMikdash and we're far from God, and he is reminded of us, and he has rachamim on us. In other words, it's almost this mechanistic mitzvah that causes God to be reminded of the pain that we're in. Okay, that's what the Zohar says. I don't want to go too deep into it, but it's just interesting that you could have such an inverse explanation from both Rambam and Ramban, with actual halachic ramifications, by the way, according to some poskim. But that's just a nice little tidbit. There's one more thing that I want to do before we finish for the night, and that is to see a surprising contradiction. We saw explicitly, clearly, and unambiguously, the Rambam said that mitzvot have a reason. He said the reason for Shiloh HaKen is rachamim. And even further, he said the explanation for the Gemara is that this is a machloket about whether or not you're allowed to ascribe reason of compassion to the mitzvah of Shiloh HaKen. And the Rambam says, we say that you can, right? So isn't it very surprising that in his Mishnah Torah, the Book of Laws, the Rambam says in Hilchot Tefillah, whoever says in his supplications, he that dealt mercifully with the nest of birds, forbidding the taking of the mother bird together with the nestlings, and the slaughtering of a beast and its young in one day, may he have mercy upon us, basically referring to these mitzvot and saying how they are because of rachamim, or offers petitions of a similar character, is silenced. Now, so far so good. That's fine. That's the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that. It could still be about jealousy, right? Everybody agrees that you're not allowed to say these things. It's just a question of why you're not allowed to say it. The problem is that the Rambam gives the reason. And the reason he says is, for these precepts are divine decrees set forth in Scripture and have not been ordained in a spirit of compassion. Were this the motive, the slaughtering of all animals would have been prohibited. Mm-hmm. Meaning, what did the Rambam just do over here?
He said
he picked the other side.
Yeah.
He picked really the wrong side. He picked the other Amora. He picked the second one, who says that it's because he presents the measures taken by the Holy One as springing from compassion, worthy as they are, but decrees. That's what the Gemara says. And here in the Morne Vuchan, the Rambam says, we follow the other opinion. We don't say that. But here in his Mishnah Torah, he does say that. This is very strange. What are we going to do about this? What do we do? We have what seems to be an explicit contradiction between the Rambam in Mor Nebuchim and the Rambam in the Mishnah Torah.
We can't say that the Rambam's inconsistent, can we? Not someone.
It's
so
strange to say that the Rambam is consistent. Now, yeah, the fact is, he wrote the Mishnah Torah first, and then the Mor Nebuchim. On the other hand, the Mishnah Torah is clearly his magnum opus. That's the most important book that he wrote. So what do we do? Yes, go ahead, Karen.
Is one intended as a pedagogical tool? Like, this is, we accept that this is an example of rachamim If Hashem is concerned about the mother bird and the babies in a nest, then we also have to be concerned about the feelings of others and exhibit the qualities of mercy. This is a great teaching tool, and I'm involved in an elementary school now, and you know, I can't wait to take this back to the kids because we do have some problems of lack of consideration. So it's one thing as a pedagogical tool, and it's another thing as a philosophy.
Okay. So you're claiming that what the Rambam wrote in Mor Nevuchim was meant
I'm not as... claiming anything. I'm suggesting.
Okay, you're suggesting. And what the Rambam wrote in the Mor Nevuchim was homiletical and trying to make a Musar point. Whereas what he wrote in the Mishnah Torah was philosophical, theological. Was the truth.
Well, both are true. We do need to emulate
now
the qualities of Rachamim. But I think that, you know, when you're writing anything, you have to consider the audience for whom you're writing and the purpose for which you're writing.
Ah, okay. Now you're saying something a little bit different. It's quite often that scholars will say that the Rambam wrote different things for different audience, different strokes for different folks. So the Rambam writing in the Mor Nevuchim is writing to people who are on the fringes of Torah. They are veering towards modernity, whatever modernity meant in the 10th century, and Hellenism and Greek philosophy. And so he wrote a book that would be matim for them. Whereas when he wrote the Mishnah Torah was the from version.
You also said, and I was intending to ask you about this at the end of the shiur, that the idea that that we can talk about this mitzvah in terms of rachamim has halachic implications, and I was going to ask you what those were.
Well, one halachic implication would be the following. If the reason that we're not supposed to think of the mother bird is because we're supposed to have mercy on the mother bird, right? Then let's say you don't need the eggs. This is a question asked by the Chavod Yair. Let's say you don't need the eggs. So if you don't need the eggs, should you send the mother bird away and take the eggs? No. I mean, it's a mitzvah that exists so that if you do need the eggs, then do the right thing and send the mother bird away. On the other hand, if the Zohar, for example, is correct, and the point of the mitzvah is to cause tsar to the mother, because that will arouse Hashem's mercy on us, then of course you should send the mother bird away and take the eggs, for example. Or, mm-hmm. you know, even if you said that the mitzvah was arbitrary and there was no purpose, and there was no or at least we treat it that way, and that there's no discernible reason for the mitzvah, then you would do like the Zohar. You'd send the mother bird away. Here's an opportunity to do a mitzvah. You know, there are many people who say it's a segula, to do shulach hakan. Segula for children, segula for this, segula for that. Well, you know, why not then? Every mitzvah is a good thing to do. The same way I put on tzitzis in the morning, even though I don't have to, I should send the mother bird away.
You can cause distress to the mother bird by sending her away without taking the eggs. All the time that she's away from that nest, she's going to be very worried and upset.
Yeah, but also all the more so if you take the eggs.
Okay, what if you're mowing your grass in your backyard and there's a bird's nest and it's in the way of your mowing your grass? So you send the mother away and you just move the nest. You don't take the eggs. You just move it to a place that's less
in your way. So here's the kicker. You're not even making the mitzvah that way because you can't do it with a nest that's on your property. But that's a different story. That's the halachos of shulach hakan. Mm. It has to be in the wilderness.
I see.
But let's get back to this contradiction. So I heard Karen's suggestion, and I think it's somewhat similar to some of the suggestions that we find amongst the Achronim that dealt with this. So I actually have a pretty long list over here. Most of them say essentially the same thing. So for example, the Tosfot Yom Tov, Rav Yom Tov Lipman Heller, one of the successors of the Noda Yehuda, and actually in Prague, he was a rabbi in Prague. So he says that he quotes the Bartanura on this Mishnah in Brachos. And he said, oh, look at the Rambam. Rambam and Rashi, Homer b'tfilato, v'tarmayu davka b'tfilah. This is davka in tfilah. If you say it in tfilah, shekshomer b'tfilah, machlita davar. Because when you say it in tefillah, this is authoritative. Mm-hmm. And that's why we tell the person to be quiet. Masha'in kein derech drash, opshat, v'chein bagmara, ha'odinachit, v'amar klamar sh'ayah yorah lifnei ha'teva mishatkin. So, in other words, the Rav Heller suggests that the distinction between the Mor Nevuchim and the Mishnah Torah is that the Mor Nevuchim is playing around with philosophy, theorizing, suggesting, you know, offering explanations. Whereas the Halacha and the Mishnah Torah, that's Tefillah. Tefillah you have to be careful with. Tefillah is mukhlat. It's definitive. It's absolute. It's authoritative. You're going to say something like that. I have figured out that the mitzvah of Shulach HaKen is rachamim. I'm going to put it in my tefillah. That's too far. That's what he says. Lashana Rambam v'ena davar ken she'ilo haya midarach rachmanut lo tzivah lishkot hareya. Says we can't really be sure that that's the reason, because there are problems with that theory. And there are. So therefore, we're not going to put it into tefillah. He says, even though it says in the Sefer Mor Nevuchim that is the reason, right? And that we don't follow the position that says that there is no reason. Nevertheless, we can't put that into our tefillah. That's what the Tosfot Yom Tov says. The Sfat Emet, I just saw this 2 days ago. So he also, he quotes the Midrash, V'kan tzipor, nirah sha'av sheb'emet urach me'ashem itbarach, mikol makom, ein la'adam lasot ha'mitzvah, rak avor gzirat ha'makom. Sfas Emes says it similar to the Maharsha. Even though it's true that it is rachamim from Hashem, nevertheless, your reason for doing the mitzvah should be because it's a gzirah, because Hashem told you to. V'zeo sh'ne'emar ha'omer, al kan tzipor yegirach ha'machak, ein la'adam lomar ke, ein ki adavar emet. You should not say it, even if it's true. Sfas Emes says, it's true, al kan tzipor yegir rachamecha, but you can't say it. Because then you're saying, oh, I'm going to do it because it's compassionate. No, you have to do it because it's what Hashem said. In the brackets, he says, v'nishal gel zem yeleshon ha-gamar, sh'osem yedot av shal gadesh bracha rachamim, v'eshav ki kiperish midotav, u'kafi she'tzim tzem ha-gadesh bracha v'etzono b'torah, u'mitzvot, Hashem contracted his will into the mitzvot, so that we would have some way of fulfilling his ratzon. It's a piece. In other words, Hashem's will, Hashem is so vast and infinite. The idea that we are somehow connecting to God through mitzvot is somehow laughable. It's almost laughable. Like you're going to, you know, give a little tzedakah and now you've connected yourself to God. It's almost laughable, but yes, Hashem is mitzamtzem himself into the mitzvot, and to say, you can fulfill my will and thereby connect to me through the mitzvot. And that's the kavana we should have. Of course, Hashem is full of rachamim, but the mitzvah itself is beyond that. But he ends by saying, she'ena sagata adam b'gzirat Hashem yitbarach b'chinat rachamim rak b'gzirah ke'evet she'mekayim divei rabo. Our performance of the mitzvot should be in the mode of simply doing God's will. Even if we philosophize and theorize, and even correctly, that they are rachamim, that shouldn't be in our minds when we do them. It's almost the opposite of what you would expect, because you would think that it's more important, the kavana of the mitzvah, than the mitzvah itself, right? But he's saying, no, the performance of the mitzvah should be done as eved shemekayem divrei rabo. The Maharsha also says something similar. He says, "The mitzvah zu mitzad harachamim hi kemo tzedakah." The first opinion says that it's like tzedakah. V'kama mitzvot ela kevan shemazkir kin batfilah harehu matil kin abba maaseh. But by mentioning it in the tefillah, that you're going to cause kin'ah. Oh no, sorry. Let me remove this. This is him explaining the first position. Ignore that. But anyways, many of the commentaries of the Rambam say some version of this. For example, over here, the Ben Yadid says, "Inachinami, it's true. The halacha tafsinan de midotav gzeirot. The halacha is that we have to treat them as gzeirot. That's why we daven that way. However, svir le'rabenu le'dilidrosh sharin. But we're still allowed to do drashot, to talk about it, to philosophize and to theorize and to you know, consider it. There is one position that says that he changed his mind, right? Sarich lomar dechazar b'omi mashikadu v'sefer ha-moreh. There's one position that says that his real position is what it says in the Mishnah Torah, and he changed his mind. Pretty extreme, considering that, you know, it takes up a large chapter in the Mor Nebuchadnezzar. It's a fundamental part of his theology. In general, this is the answer that's given, that there's a difference between talking about the mitzvah of Shiloh HaKan in a shir, like we're doing right now, versus using it as a concept in tefillah. So you should be careful not to do that. All right, so what did we learn tonight? We learned, first of all, a machlok between the Rambam and Ramban. They both agree that Shiloh HaKan has a reason, and it is related to Hashem's rachamim. But where they disagree is that the Rambam believes that that the mitzvah is an expression of Hashem's rachamim, that Hashem wants us to have mercy on the bird because he has mercy on the bird. Whereas the Ramban says, no, Hashem, mercy on the bird, that's not what's going on. The bird doesn't feel real pain. We're not concerned for the bird. Rather, it's a training tool so that we develop the midah of rachmanut. And that's how we should treat all the mitzvot. All the mitzvot are training tools. They're there, litzaref et habriot, to improve upon us, to make us into better people. That's the purpose. And we're allowed to think that way. The Maharal disagrees. The Maharal says, no, the purpose of mitzvot is to do Ratzon Hashem. And Ratzon Hashem is something that's unfathomable to us. Then we talked about the contradiction in the Rambam, where the Rambam writes in the Mishnah Torah that there is no reason, that we can't, rather that we cannot declare the reason for Shiloh HaKan. And we try to understand how could the Rambam say that. And most of the Mepharshim explain that there's a difference between tefillah and philosophy. In philosophy, we can talk about whatever we want. The Drosh Sharim, we're allowed to say most things within the realm of orthodoxy about God and about mitzvot. However, you can't say these things in tefillah because it's too definitive and too authoritative and absolute.
Rav Dani.
Yes.
We talked about Shiloh HaKan at the beginning, Beglal Tzar Shel HaIma. What happens to the Tzar when the bird comes back and there are no eggs?
So, according to the Ramban, it forgets by then, I guess. Or no.
He had Tzar.
Right. It's less tsar. It's less tsar. You're right. It's less tsar. It's the best. It's the best way to do it. The best way to do it. All right. Yishar koach, everybody. Have a good night. Shabbat shalom.
Thank you. Shabbat shalom.
You're good.
Bye. Shabbat shalom. Thank you, Rabbi.
You.
Good night.